All right. Episode 113 of the Fair Enough podcast. Bob in Detroit, Mike in Chicago, back to regularly scheduled programming. We're not together. That was cool, though. And we did make it work pretty well.
Yeah, it was probably the most fun. I mean, it was definitely fun as hell to like be in the same room.
It was great. It sucked that obviously we don't have. So Jack couldn't bring his stuff. If you were listening last week and you were like, "Why are these parts where I can't really hear Jack?" Because his whole setup is basically stuck to his house. It'd be like him bringing his fridge over to my house. Like it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I think, not to shit on Jack at all, but it would have been nice if he would have just let us know that. If we would have just been able to realize and maybe thought of something instead of just it being like, yep, I'm here, but I'm just, it was like, damn, like it would have been better to have him.
Yeah.
Have a mic, you know?
Yeah. And it's okay. We'll be better next time, but at least now we know we have the capability, especially with these microphones that we have, to do an in-person podcast.
Pretty easily too,
because we thought that we wouldn't be able to do it even last week.
Yeah,
but we took a shot. Yeah. But yeah, so obviously last week was draft week, and I think it went off without a hitch. I mean, Detroit fucking showed out. 770,000 people over the 3 days. Set a day record, set total crowd record. Shout out to the city. Everybody showed up. Everything went smooth. Nobody got hurt. And the Lions and Bears, really the NFC North, I guess, outside of the pack, had good days.
Yeah, I mean, shit, I don't know if you call J.J. McCarthy a good day, but it's definitely what they wanted.
Yeah. People forget, though, that on the back end of the first round, they got, what's his face? Dallas Turner from Bama, the edge, who was projected to go eight to Atlanta before they did the stupidest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah, that was wild. Okay, I didn't realize that, but fair. Yeah. No, I definitely, that was just a good time. I wasn't sure what to expect by all everything, you know, like the whole experience and stuff. So I'm like, I'm glad it was not as 275,000 people. You think you're nut to butt, right? Like it wasn't bad at all when it came to like room, you know?
No, there were it too. There were a lot of people though. And you notice it when you were walking through the street for sure, but the street seemed bigger for whatever reason. And you were saying that too. You're like when you're downtown like that and the streets are all cut off and you know, everybody's walking around. Not only does the city look nicer, but it feels bigger too.
Yeah, I think it's when there's no cars, no trucks, no buses, and it's just the street and the buildings. You're like, golly, it's just so big.
Yeah.
Comparatively, I said that multiple times. I'm like, fuck, like it just looks so big and nice. Like it looks so much better without cars and the hoopla.
And we were able to, you know, we didn't get down there right away on Thursday. We got down there around what, 5:30, 5 o'clock on Thursday? I think closer to 5 probably.
Yeah, we left at 4:30-ish. So yeah, it's probably closer to 5, 5:15.
Mm-hmm. And then we got to the draft area and made our way to the front. Not the front, but made our way to a place where we could actually see the screens, hear what was happening with the draft, which I was like the most concerned about. I thought we were just going to be in the way back and fucked, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, even where we were initially in the back, kind of, I don't think we would have any problems hearing or seeing the screens. So I don't think we didn't even have to go where we went, but it was just precautionary, I guess, you know, to get up there and just be there where we were.
Shout out to Big Sean, too. Big Sean on Thursday was kind of dope.
Yeah, it was cool. I've never seen Big Sean. Oh, actually, you say I have. I guess he played at the Thanksgiving game we went to. But, yeah, it was cool, too. I mean, he did, like, he did like two songs and he started like talking about some shit and I was like, oh, he's done. He did like five more songs. I was like, all right, that's like an actual concert, you know?
Five hitters too.
Yeah, he played all the big ones.
Yeah, songs everybody knew. It was cool. Overall, great experience. If you haven't been to a draft and you're like thinking about and teetering whether you want to go or not, I highly recommend it. It was very, it's a lot. Going for all 3 days is kind of crazy in my brain. But if you can go, just see one day. Doesn't even matter if it's Thursday. I mean, everybody saw the pictures from Friday. It was just as busy Friday and Saturday as it was on Thursday. So if you can go, go to Lambeau maybe this year. That's, I don't know how they're going to follow Detroit.
I don't know if that city's big enough to handle a draft. Like Lambeau, the only thing that there is in Green Bay is Lambeau Field.
Right.
I don't know if they'll be able to handle a draft. Are they having it next year?
Yeah, dude. 2025 in Green Bay.
I don't know how they're going to do that.
They're like Title Town area. That whole area around Lambeau is super cool and all the money that they've put into it. But I just don't, there's just not enough people there to reach the numbers that a Detroit or a Nashville or a Chicago could put up.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm sure you'll get a lot of people from the neighboring states, especially Michigan, Illinois.
Definitely. All of the NFC North will be represented well, as it was this weekend.
Yeah, correct.
A lot of Vikings, a lot of Jay Jetta jerseys on little kids.
Yeah. Surprisingly, not that many Green Bay jerseys.
Not many at all. Like, I don't recall seeing any. I probably definitely saw some, but for whatever reason, the Vikings jerseys really stood out. There were a million of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Vikings. I thought they won the Bears. I think the Bears fans were out. The Bears fans knew when to be there. It was Thursday. After that, no Bears fans gave a fuck. They're like, we're getting out of this shithole town.
Exactly. We're going back. We're going home today. And I don't blame them.
Yeah. It was a good time, though.
I'm burying the lead, though. I know everybody's sitting there wondering. And yes, we did run the 40, and we did do the vertical jump.
Yeah, we did those.
Sort of. We sort of did. Well, we definitely, we did the 40. And I was impressed with the times. So Mike ran a 5.08.
Yeah, I would say like a 5.1 because Dan was like a cock hair ahead of me, and he's the one that registered the score, which was 5.08.
So Mike ran a 5.1. I was behind him with a 5.4. But for a couple of guys coming off leg injuries, not bad times. Under 6.
Yeah. And like I told you, what did I say in the last? I said, though, I was like, in my heart of hearts, I really think that I can go sub 5. And I was close. And I said, no doubt sub 6. Though. I knew we would both be under sub 6 unless you fucking fell over.
And I know a month of focusing on the 40, you can run a 4.9.
I think so. And also, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'll say it to the day I die. Even the video kind of shows. I got off to a 10-foot slow start. I didn't think that Dan was going to be as quick as he was. So I was like, all right, I don't want to hurt myself. As long as I can just kind of pace Bob and hopefully beat you at the end, I'll be okay. Because I in my head, I'm like, all right, I think I'm a little quicker than Bob, but I'm not overly faster. But I was like, I think if I just get there and then at the last 20 kind of turn it on and get there, and all of a sudden Dan's out in front, I was like, fuck, I gotta go, because I didn't want to lose the 3-man race. I was kind of butthurt that he even did it, because I wanted it to just be me and you.
Yeah,
but I was like, man, so I think if I would have like really like gotten to a good like got where I wanted to be right off the rip, I think I could have shaved a 0.05 off the score and maybe beat Dan. But I mean, that's, we're talking literal fucking tenths of seconds, so I don't, it's not a big deal.
Well, Dan's legs also go up to his nipples.
Yeah, like, and he's got 100%.
3 more strides to our 1 stride.
Yeah, and what, like you said, 2 guys coming off of, I mean, less than 2 years off of fucking major leg surgery. So And I've done, you've probably done little to no running. I mean, other than playing hockey, which is quick spurts, but like, I've done little to no running. Like, so
the hockey is not full strides like that. Like, that's like,
yeah, that's full on running. And that's like
getting
I
up there
baseball.
And getting going.
Yeah. I played baseball last year, but I didn't run. I got on base and I had a runner. So I literally only ran to first. It's not like I, you know, I haven't done like major sprinting or any real running since the injury. So yeah, I'm proud of us.
Well, let's talk about too. We showed up. We're wearing jeans. I got Air Maxes on, Air Force Ones on, and you have fucking Jordan Ones.
low, barely tied. Because you were saying you were gonna take your shoes off. I was like, I'm not going to, but I do think it would be helpful. Because I was like, but the socks against like the faux turf, I thought I'd probably slip. That's why I didn't do it.
Well, if we didn't have to make so you. The way it was set up was you kind of bob and weave through a line that's right next to the 40. And we're going to post the video on our Instagram page so everybody can see. But you kind of bob and weave through the line that's right next to the 40. Also, we got to pause for a second. Shout out to the guy that was calling the thing.
Oh, yeah. He loved me, but he was fucking everybody up before.
Dude, I mean, this guy, so they had a guy basically MCing. I mean, that's what he was doing. He was MCing the 40. And and it was laser, by the way. They had a lady at the end who would click it on go, but after that, once we crossed the finish line, it was laser. Yeah. But they had this guy MCing it, and he was basically just a professional shit talker.
Yeah.
And he was
had
like
a few go-tos.
Yeah, he had a few good go-tos. He was like a 55-year-old dad, like perfect for this job.
Yeah.
Like woke up in the morning, was born to do this job. Best one still was, so there was this kid.
And his mom.
Okay. There was this kid and his mom that got up. And actually, surprisingly, a lot of parents and a lot of older people were doing the 40. And were in line and running the 40. Obviously, a lot of kids, but more old people than you would think were lining up. And correct. so this mom and her son was probably like 13 or something like that, were lining up to run the 40, and the MC was talking shit to him, you know, are you gonna let your mom beat you, blah blah blah. But at the end he goes, we're all gonna see this in the paper tomorrow, mom beats kid. And it was just a great line, but overall guy was great.
Yes, he was funny, man.
But so at the end of the 40, once you got done, you had to walk on the cement where everybody was walking back down to the other side to like get your phone and your shoe and your shit where you started. So that's why I didn't want to take the shoes off, because I didn't want to make that walk.
I agree. And thankfully we had Chutzy there and Cody and Savannah holding like our phones and glasses and shit. But I agree. I wasn't going to be like, hey, Matt, hold my sneakers, you know? And I wasn't doing the walk back down the turf like some of the kids were doing. I was like, I agree. I wasn't trying to do that either.
But I think that does cut time off for us if we go not the ridiculous shoes that we were wearing.
Yeah. I mean, I just needed to tie mine a little better, and I didn't, and I wasn't going to. But I also think the socks would have been not that good either. I think I would have had to go like straight up barefoot for me to like, I don't know, that was like
barefoot,
you know,
probably,
I mean,
would have been the play.
Yeah, or some sort of shoe with grip on it, you know, that wasn't a basketball shoe,
right?
But that was
barefoot,
fun though.
Barefoot would have worried me about my other Achilles, just having like no support like that.
Yeah, no, I get it. And also, I've never done a standing 40 like that with the chips. I mean, a standing vertical with the things. That looking up at the fucking, like, the measuring stick, intimidating.
It was. And threw your equilibrium way off. So it was like you see at the combine, if you're listening to us, it was the, like, actual things that they have at the combine.
Yeah, the sticks.
Up and hit the little sticks. But yeah, standing under it, that's one that you need to practice I know that you obviously needed to practice the 40, but I didn't think that you would need to practice the vert as much as you probably do, just to make sure that you're getting to the apex without leaning forward or leaning back. Or
exactly. Like, well, that was the thing is, like, I try to stand, like, damn near right under it.
Me too.
You know?
I think that's a flaw. Like, I don't think we should have done that.
Well, yeah, and so, like, I think what I did was I cut my hands down because, obviously, like, keeping your hand up and jumping, you're not going to get as high. You got to fucking swing your fucking arms a little bit. So I was like, all right, where do I stand? I kept looking up at it, and I'm like, that was the hardest part for me. Granted, like, not stretching and just jumping straight up, you know, fresh out the womb is a little tough, too. But, like, that was what was the hardest part. I was like, I might not even hit the damn stick. And if you watch the video when the video is posted, I barely clipped the stick. Like, everyone else was whacking the fuck out of it. I moved it like an inch because I just wanted to minimize as much movement as possible, you know?
But that's what they do at the combine. They barely touch it at the combine. And now we understand the reason for it.
Yeah. You want to take away any extra unnecessary movement if possible.
Yeah. But. Yeah, because we were seeing people in front of us that were literally, like, smacking the shit out of the thing. And it's like, hey, dude, not necessary. Yeah.
I also wanted to get to the top of it, and I was one thing short of it. And I was like, God damn it, dude. Like, I wanted to be like, let me go one more time, but they were only letting people go again if they overpassed it. And I was like, I can get to that fucking thing, I swear to God.
Yeah.
But
Dan outdid us once again on the vertical leap. My vertical was the most embarrassing part of not only my year so far, I think. But
I mean,
coming off an Achilles, I know that's not really coming off. I'm a year and a half off, but they ain't back to normal as far as vertical leap goes.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I was nervous for you because, I mean, dude, that's right. It's right where it's at. Like, that's
your
that's
jumping
where,
muscle.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man, I honestly, like, didn't want you to do it, but I knew that there was no chance you weren't going to, but I was like, man, I really hope he doesn't hurt himself. Like, I knew that I was at risk, and I felt every bit of it. Like, when I came down, I felt every bit of my leg, and the next morning, I was sore from that one jump, but I knew that structurally, my shit's good. Like, it's not going to tear from that, like, unless I landed weird out, but, like, yours, I was like, man, I hope it's good. I really was a little nervous for you. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, and I wasn't nervous. This thing's never going to tear. It will never.
Well, that's
it's
good
like
to know.
It's indestructible at this point. My other one's way more likely than my one that got torn originally. But really? It's just like there's no bounce in it.
Yeah.
Because it's so thick, there's just no there's no bounce, no movement to it at all. It's just
what do they put What do they put in your Achilles? What is your new Achilles made of? Or do they unroll your other one and they're like, I don't know, because it was ruptured or I don't get it.
It's parts of my like calf, from what I understand, that they added to it to make it thicker.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I think my new tendon is from, or my new ligament is from the back of my thigh or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Same shit.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. That was wild. That was fun, though. It's a good time. I got hammered on Thursday at the. You don't realize when they're 25 ounces, dude, and it was so cold and we were so like. I drink probably like 8 fucking Bud Light, 25 ounce Bud Light seltzers. No joke.
They definitely snuck up on us. We were hurt.
Maybe not 8, at least 6. Yeah. I was like, holy fuck, I drank a lot. And then obviously going to the bar doesn't help either, but.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Cold, great time. And Thursday, that was the only flaw, really, was that Thursday was a little bit nipply at night.
Yes.
And it was confusing because it was hot as shit during the day. The sun was. So we couldn't really prepare ourselves other than just be too hot or be too cold. And most of us chose be too cold. And I was at the end of the day okay with it. Once I started getting drinks in me, it was just like, eh.
Once I didn't have 2 drinks in my hands.
That was key.
I was okay. It was when the first 2 or 3 rounds, when I had 2 in my hand, I couldn't do anything about it. There's nowhere to set them, where I'm just like, all right, well, my hands are icicles now. But once you're just one drink and you're just switching it back and forth,
Yep.
You're good.
Rotating the pocket hand was everything.
Yeah, exactly. 1,000,000%.
Speaking of sports, something interesting happened this week, and I wanted to get your take on it. So I don't know if you saw this, but the headline is Dave & Buster's will begin allowing customers to bet on arcade games.
Yeah, I saw that.
Customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on Hot Shots basketball, skee ball, or another arcade game.
Yeah.
And people are pissed about it. Let me read you.
Why are people mad?
Well, let me read you some of the tweets, because the tweets are like, I was like, why are people were very much overreacting to it. Joe Pomp. I love Joe Pomp. Great sports business guy to follow on Twitter, and his podcast is awesome. But he says, I'm not sure there is a better sign that America is heading toward a gambling problem than Dave & Buster's offering its customers the ability to bet real money on a Papa Shot and skee ball games.
I mean, okay.
If you're gambling on a Papa Shot game at Dave & Buster's, you should be arrested immediately. Oh my God, now we are imprinting gambling addiction onto children? Like, these are the tweets.
Okay.
$5 on Papa Shot is, like, gonna push us over the edge? Like, get the fuck out of here. We already have a gambling problem. You shouldn't open the floodgates. Like, it is what it is. And a $5 on Papa Shot isn't gonna change the $500 bet on the Knicks that somebody's gonna place later that night.
No, but I don't disagree, though. I mean, I know that we already do have a gambling problem, but, like, it is very unnecessary. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
It's like, also,
it's
what
cool.
is the... yeah, but what is... what is the... Where does Dave & Buster's come in? Because if it's doing it there, then they're getting a nut out of it somehow, right? Or is it just the fact that people are going to play more?
I would assume so. So it's adults age 18 and older will be able to place real money wagers on arcade games with friends. The technology is expected to be available in the coming months. As a boom in betting increases engagement among sports fans, digital gamification could have a similar effect within Dave & Buster's customers base by allowing loyalty members to compete with one another and earn rewards. Ultimately, it could mean people spend more time and more money at the venues. So that's kind of where their cheese is coming in. More people coming in. There's this extra thing that you can do now with gambling. Might yeah. keep you locked in for a little bit longer. It's the way of the casino, essentially, is what they're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little fucked up, to be honest with you. I like it. I mean, it's cool. It is what it is. Like, but I've done that already. Like, hey, if I beat you, buy me a drink. Or if you beat me, I'll buy you a drink. You know what I mean? But, like, I do think the, like, promotion of it kind of... It's just like anything, though, where there's a DraftKings fucking sign in every venue you go to. It's everywhere.
Right.
I kind of wish it would slow down a little bit. As like, I mean, I'm going to gamble. It is what it is. But, like, I do think that, like... I think that they should get rid of player props altogether. I think player props should be illegal to gamble on in the United States. It should be straight up money lines, spreads, over-unders. That's it. That's all you should be able to bet on.
You're thinking just because of, like, tampering, player mental health, things like that?
Well, yeah, because it's like you hear – and, I don't give a fuck about the player. I really don't, like, as a whole. But you do hear them in the interviews, and they're like, yeah, dude, like, of course. Like, I get DMs, and you're like, oh, like, that guy is a human, and he's getting harassed online because he didn't go over 25 points or shit like that. Or, like, in the stadium, like, it's not like a, hey, Joker, do good today. It's like, hey, I need you for 25 tonight, where it's like
– right.
It's all about what your pockets look like instead of how I feel about the team. Or it's like, yeah, it's causing more people to watch games and have more engagement, but also it's like it's watering down fandom for one, and two, it's just weird like how like we expect these people to owe them something. They don't give a fuck about our fantasy football league. They don't give a fuck about our about our player props that we have, and it's like, now all of a sudden this guy juices me on my fourth leg of a parlay, and now I hate him forever. Like, I think he's a piece of shit. I don't even know the guy, you know? Like, in this, yeah. I've done, personally, I'm like, ah, fuck that guy. He's fucked. You know what I mean? Like, Donovan Mitchell, always loved him. He's fucked me twice in the last three games.
And now I'm he's like, banned.
He's not banned, but I'm like, I have a different view of him because he fucked right. me twice. It's like, well, their team lost by 30 both games. Maybe it's more on the fucking Cavs than it was on him. And maybe right. I should have known better. I should have known that the fucking Magic were going to beat the brakes off him and he wasn't going to get there. But no, instead I'm like, fuck you, Spider. I'm not buying your shoes no more. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think the promotion of gambling needs to slow the fuck down, especially for at a place that half the time is for kids. I know that at Dave and Buster's after, I think, like 7 p.m. or some shit, or like on the weekends, it is like 18 and older, which I do really appreciate Dave and Buster's for that. Like, you can't have kids there at night where it's like you're drinking, you're doing this, but
yeah,
it's like, man, dude, it's a kid's place. Like, it's a fucking arcade. Relax. I don't think Dave and Buster's bottom dollar, I don't think they're struggling that much, to be honest. I feel like they're one of the few arcade places left like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing fine. But
I don't know.
Does this entice you to think, okay, maybe next time I'm thinking of something to do, go to Dave and Buster's with the boys? Or are you still going to go to Dave and Buster's the same amount as you would have before?
I have gone to Dave and Buster's, I think, twice in my entire life. Hmm. So, and also, I'm a degenerate. So, like, a $5 gambling thing, like, No, that's not going to make me want to go there anymore. It might make me want to play a little bit more while I'm there. Like, oh, hey, fuck, like, double or nothing, run it back.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, no, I don't really have any extra oomph to go there, you know?
That's kind of where I stood, too. I didn't text the fellas and was like, let's get over to D&B's right now and get ourselves a nice steak. And
well, and it's only for loyalty members, so it's... So it's for the people that are already going there often enough to become loyalty members. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So who's a loyalty member at Dave and Buster's? Who is that person?
I mean, I'm sure if there's a D&B around you, maybe there's a pretty big group of them. But yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
It just always reminds me of that Always Sunny episode. When they keep going back to Dave and Buster's. If you're looking for a better steak in an arcade setting, look no further.
Yeah. He's just like, why can't you use the Dave and Buster's cards at anywhere else? He's like, I've tried. It doesn't work. He's like, yeah, no shit.
No, trust me.
So what you're saying is that we should try our Dave and Buster's at the other place. No, no, no.
But interesting. I just thought that was weird. And I agree. I'm in the same boat. I'm not going to Dave and Buster's anymore.
Yeah, so my thing is, what does that lead to, though? You know what I mean? So, like, what's the next thing that they're going to playfully allow people to bet on?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know? I mean, who knows? Like, maybe they start setting shit up at, like, a Don's Play Place, and then kids can gamble, like, tokens or fucking French fries or shit like that. I don't know. I don't know what the next step is. I didn't think we'd be here. I didn't think Dave and Buster's gambling was on the horizon. This is out of left field.
I also think it doesn't make sense to me. Kind of, but whatever. I mean, this is what it is, right?
It is what it is. I was just folding stuff. I feel like a new man because of it. But I just did a shit ton of laundry. And do you ever... Where are you on, like, the socks together front? Are you, like, putting all your socks together, or are you just, like, mismatching and you don't really give a shit? You're just kind of throwing them in the drawer.
For one, I'm never mismatching. Okay. Are you talking about on my feet mismatching, or, like, what do you mean?
Both. If you're putting them in the drawer, are they mismatched? Or if they're putting them on your feet, are they mismatched ever?
Never mismatched on my feet. Also, never mismatched in my drawer. What I do is, as I do laundry, I have, like, one little basket, which it gets full as fuck. I have a lot of socks. Mm. And as I do my laundry, I just throw unless I see a pair like right next to you. So like say I have like a pair of red socks, you know, I have a couple pairs of just straight up red ass socks. Easy yeah. to find the other one. All right, I'll pair those up, put it in there. But what I'll do is I'll just put all of them in that basket. And then when I'm like finished doing my laundry, I'll dump them all out and I will match them all together properly. And if I'm missing a match for one, I'll keep those in a separate pile and either wait to find the match, or if I never find the match again, I just toss it out.
Yeah.
Or I have it as, because sometimes, you know, if I have like Nike crew socks and I have an extra one that's just laying around, I'll keep it just in case I tear one on another pair or I lose one or whatever. But if it's like a specific sock and there's only one matching thing and I lose it or I rip it, garbage.
Do you bunch them when you put them away? Like the fold yep. them into each other?
Yep.
I've found that that's the best way.
And what I do also, once again, is that after I pour them all out of this basket, when I bunch them all together, I just put them right back into that basket because I have too many socks for my drawer where it's like it's just easier to kind of see all of them in the basket than it is to like go in the drawer and like dig.
So you have a sock basket and that's where they yeah. live.
99% of the time, yes.
Rarely
I tried doing
make it to the drawer.
Yeah, I tried doing like where I had the drawer set up, but like I had like, you know how I have like work chones and like going out chones? Yeah. I had the same thing for, especially with the last job, I had that for socks too, because it's like a lot of times I'm outside. So it's like I have to have, for one, at least calf high, thicker socks just in case it's cold. So I'd keep all those on one side. Then they get all mixed up, where it's like at least when they're in the basket, I can kind of see all of them, if not majority of them, where I'm like, all right, here's one, where it's like, it's Wednesday at 4:45. I'm just wearing a pair of ankle socks right now, chilling at the crib, you know?
Right.
So, because I'm not, you know, it also depends on what shoes I'm wearing, because if I'm wearing high top shoes, I can't wear low top socks, because yep. nothing makes me angrier than shit touching my ankles. Like, so I'm a weirdo.
It also looks weird when people are wearing like blazer. Well, blazers are kind of different. I don't know. Blazers still.
No. Yeah. Blazers. Yes. Fuck that.
When it's just blazer on skin, that just looks weird to me.
Yeah. Unless you're a chick. And even then it looks kind of weird too. I think a guy with blazers with low socks, unless you have them like super spread out and you like don't have them tied up all the way and you kind of look like, I don't know. I don't want to say like punky, like trashy punk, maybe, but I don't know. I'm just, or like kind of like ghetto, I guess you'd say. No, I'm not in it. I'm not on that train.
I do the same. I'm on the same routine as you. So I fold shirts and all that shit first, leave the socks behind so that it's way easier to match them up. But you can tell me if I'm crazy for doing this. So when I'm matching up my socks,
I love this conversation. Just like, no, I don't mean to cut you off. I apologize. Okay. I just want to let you know before I lose that. I love this conversation.
I knew that you would. That's why the second I thought of it, I wrote it down in my notes. So when I am matching up my socks after everything else is folded, I will go as far as to look at the bottom of each sock. See, and let me preface this. I have only black Nike mid-highs and white Nike mid-highs. That's really all I have. Other than that, I have like four or five other pairs of socks that are like either some I wear to work or like some I wear to work out, shit like that.
Yeah.
But everything else, black and white, mid-high, Nike. So I'll look at the bottom of a white Nike mid-high, say, okay, this is about this much worn, and I'm going to find another white Nike mid-high that matches that wornness, because I'm not about to put a fresh new sock that I got for this Christmas with an old nasty sock from 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's so, not crazy at all.
Okay. I
do the exact same thing, because you know how what I said, I dump them all out? So say I have six Nike black Nike crew socks, right? Mm-hmm. I will put all six of them together, and then, yes, I will match up which ones are, okay, these are the two best, these are the next two best, these are the third pair. I do that 1,000%. Yep. I don't have as much where, like, how you are, where you have, like, okay, I have this year's white, and then, like, 2 years ago white. I don't have that much consistency in my sock drawer, but for anything that I have multiple pairs of, I do the exact same thing. So that's not crazy one bit. And I'm glad that I'm not crazy for that either.
I thought you were going to look at me like I had fucking four heads when I said that.
No, no, I think that that's just smart. That's just being economical. Like you said, if one of them is going to get ruined today and the next one's going to be halfway through the ringer, no. We're not, you know, like also too, I'm self-conscious. Like, so say like I take my shoes off and one of the bottom, like no one's going to see the bottom of my feet, but like if they do, they see the bottom of my feet and they're like, well, why the fuck is this one got a little more wear on it than that one? Like, yeah, is this guy walking with a limp? Yeah, like what's going on here? So I like to keep the bottom of my socks looking accurate as well. So I don't think that's crazy at all. I thought I was crazy for doing that, but then I was like, no, this makes sense. So
good. And I don't know what the inconsistency is, and I don't know if you see this, but like I got new socks. My mom gets me socks every Christmas. And dude, mm-hmm. I don't know why. I was thinking about this the other day too, because I wanted to buy some more. Why don't I allow myself to buy socks? They're so expensive. The Nike socks are. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'll go spend $30 at the bar or at a restaurant, no problem. But I ain't spending it on six pairs of socks. For whatever reason, there's a block in my brain where I just refuse to do that.
This isn't actually a good reasoning, because you can go to one bar and get a drink for $10 and another bar and get it for $2. Maybe not $2 or $5. But there's an experience that goes along with those two things. With the socks, you're getting the exact same socks. My thing with it is that I know that I can go. So if I go to the Nike store and they're $30 for six, I know for a fact I can go to TJ Maxx or Marshall's or what's the other one? The Burlington Coat Factory, shit like that. And they have name brand socks and you can get the exact same socks. They're not always there, but you can go and get them for literally a third of the price. And that's why, to me, I usually only buy my socks if they're one on sale or two. Like, I buy Van socks straight from the Van store, because first of all, Van socks, if you don't have any pairs, Van socks are the next best thing next to Nike socks. I actually kind of like them better. Some of them.
Really?
Yes.
I've never even tried a pair on.
Oh, dude. And the thing about, so like we have small feet, right? And it's hard to find the medium in the Nike socks, you know, like the size like 6 to 9.
It's impossible. They give you get fucking 8 to 12 every time. And you're like, all right, I'm 12, just going to swim in these.
Or you get like the size like infant or like the small size where it's like like, all right, this is for a child.
It's never but on the 8 side. It's always a 12.
Exactly. But you could find them sometimes, but at Vans, a lot of times they will have the mid-size sock too, like for any pair. So that's the reason why I like Vans, because they fit my feet perfectly. But back to what you were saying, and I think it's because I know I can get those socks either somewhere for a discount 85% of the time. Maybe it's not the exact perfect sock, but it's either the white or the black, or maybe it's like the one that comes with the white, black, and gray all in one, shit like that, where it's like you can get them elsewhere for cheaper. I think that's where my head's at with it. You know what I mean? With like when you're going to the bar, you're spending $30. It's like, yeah, I don't get the experience of the Tin Roof where I can go to the fucking dive bar and, you know, get half price drinks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where my head's at.
I guess I don't, and that's one place that I should be looking, because I looked on Amazon and they were like the same price as the Nike store. Yeah. And I was like, what are we doing here? How are these the same price on Amazon? But
yeah, you gotta, I'm telling you, yeah, go to Marshalls or TJ Maxx. That's where I get 99% of my underwear and socks because of that reason. And everything is just cheap, you know, it's just cheaper and it's all the same shit. So, but
that's laundry talk.
Yeah, I love it. I genuinely love that conversation, because it's something that you don't really like ever talk to anyone about. You're like, am I a weirdo about this? Am I like, I don't know. Do you hang anything or are you all fold?
I hang work shirts, and I hang shirts that I want to go out in.
Like t-shirts too, or just like flannels and shit?
No, okay. T-shirts. I hang all that shit. I hang t-shirts. If I had more room, eventually when I have more room, I'll hang jeans. Haven't gotten into that yet.
Yeah, I don't hang pants at all because I just don't have the space for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of extra space for that.
Yeah, or, you know, they have those hangers. Have you ever seen those hangers that are like six hangers in one?
Yep.
Where, like, I feel like that would be really good for pants. Because, like, you know, I have probably six to eight pairs of pants from, like, moderate dress pants to, like, cargo pants that, like, I wear out. You know, obviously, like my dress pants, like, suit pants and shit like that, I, you know, keep those aside. And, like, sweatpants yep. and shit, whatever. But, like, I only have, you know, like I said, maybe eight total that I, like, go out in, whether it's jeans or those, like, those pants I was wearing this weekend, shit like that, where it's like, that's two hangers then only, you know? Bop, bop. Right. But
that's a play. But putting those on, is that practical? Getting them on the hanger every time?
I don't know. I that's the thing. I've never had one. I see them on TikTok and, like, you know, like, those TikTok pages where, like, the people are super efficient with, like, storing all their shit. Like, they, like it's, like, those pages and you're, like...
You can get lost in those pages.
Oh, for sure. But you're also, like, this chick does nothing but this for money. Schlut for money. This is all she does. You know what I mean? So it's, like, I get aggravated doing laundry. I don't know how practical it is to fucking be hanging pants up like that on those weird hangers. I'm not sure. We have to test that.
You go from just putting shit away to all of a sudden you're building an atom bomb. You know?
It's fucking Oppenheimer in the closet.
Like, how worth it is it for that little bit of not only space, but different crease in your pants? Yeah. I don't know.
And just for one weekend to go by and all of a sudden you fuck it all up and you have two of them miss it, you know?
So quick that would happen.
And okay, if we're going to just be on the laundry, do you have anything else to talk about? Because I got at least like two more things I can go after on this.
Nope.
Okay, so for your pants, now that we're on pants here, do you wash your pants between every wear?
Certain pants, yes. Jeans, definitely not. I want to wear my jeans in. Like, I'll probably do 2 to 3 wears of my jeans, depending on if they, like, get shit on them. But I like when my jeans fit nice on that second or third wear, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%. I was going to say, because I wash my pants, like, I'll wear a pair of pants fucking 7 times as long as nothing gets on it. And, you know, right. I mean, yeah.
No, you definitely run it until it's done.
Yeah, I agree. So it's like, that's another thing too with like, doesn't it sound a little bit like kind of weird to be like, I'm going to rehang these pants that I've worn already. Doesn't that sound weird? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that is weird. Especially if you're pulling them out of like, say we were doing the long hanger that goes down.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pulling them out of a weird spot, is it easy to get them back into the middle while there's already these other pants hanging? I don't know.
I don't either, dude. I'm gonna have to get a couple of these.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get them, test them, and then we'll report back.
Yeah, I have so much clothing that like a lot of it serves a purpose though, and I've gotten rid of so much over the last year, couple years, and it's like it just keeps coming, and I'm like, dude, where do I put all this shit? Like, I don't know how people that have a lot of clothing, like where it all goes.
Good for you for getting rid of some. I need purge. I need a purge bad, dude. Like, I look myself in the mirror every day and tell myself that sucks.
Yeah, I actually have a bag ready to go, but I'm so sick of giving it to the Goodwill because it pisses me off that I'm like overthinking it, that it's like I'm giving it to someone to sell.
They're making like, good scratch off your hard work.
Exactly. Where it's like, why don't I try to sell it? Or two, fucking donate it to somewhere that's going to actually donate it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to give it to someone and or something that donates it to people who need shit, not people that are going to sell it and make their fucking couple bucks off of everything. Because I do have some shit that, like, I got fat, right? I got some mediums that I wore once. I think I had a medium that had a tag on it one time. And I had to throw it out or, like, give it away. And I'm like, dude, this is brand new. Mm-hmm. And these people are going to go make fucking $15 off it. I mean, granted, you know, it's a shirt that's not expensive for a shirt. But, like, fuck, dude, like, give it to somebody. I don't know.
I wonder if, like, the Boys and Girls Club does any takes in any kind of donations or anything like that. I feel like that would be the best way if you were able to just give the clothes right to kids that need clothes.
Well, that's the thing. I have like in my closet, I have like a shelf in my closet, and there's probably, no bullshit, 15 pairs of shoes, three of them like in boxes still. Yeah. That I like tried on. They didn't like, I got them in like a Threadbeast box, and like they're too tight. They're basketball shoes. I got wide feet, kind of too tight. Like, I remember I gave you that one pair, the 270s or whatever, like that. Yep. Like, I didn't fit right. Where it's like, I want to donate those to someone, because it's like, dude, these are actually all like really good shoes. I don't want the Goodwill of having them at all, because I know that they're going to make money off it. I want to, if I'm going to donate them, I want them to go straight to something that actually, like, you know, like a fucking shoe drive of some sort. But I don't know where to find those things. And I think I've talked about this before on here, and it's like, I don't know. They're just taking up space.
If you're listening and you know of some charities that Mike and I can donate our clothes to, shoot us a DM.
Like, actual charities.
We will send you bags.
Yeah, man. I mean, I like, and like, not to shit on fucking Compass Lease, but like, I have like 12 Compass Lease polos, maybe a little less, that are, most of them are either Nike or Adidas, most of them in pretty good shape. And it's like, fuck, you know, I'll give those, like, I don't, you know, like, I'm not going to go give those a Goodwill. That seems kind of weird. But also, like, people who needs like a fucking polo for something, I don't know, like, right. I don't want any of those clothes anymore. I'll fucking throw them all out.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. How do we get to that? How do we get to the Goodwill? What was I talking about? Oh, purging my clothes,
purging shit. Yeah.
They do say, my sister, shout out my sister Shanna, she said that there's like a study that's like, if you don't wear something within 2 weeks, that's not specialty, that's not a suit or whatever, but if you don't wear something within 2 weeks of washing it, then your brain like subconsciously forgets about it. You don't even know you have it. You should throw it out.
It's so true. You don't even need to study to do that. To prove that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, but
just
still,
look,
like,
just look into yourself for 1 second and think about if once you called that quits on that shirt, it was over.
Yeah. Or like it fit weird once, or you're like,
you've never turned back and you never will.
Mm-hmm. You're like, well, anything else? I can mow the lawn in it. It's like, you're never going to mow the lawn.
You ain't mowing the lawn. Now, because of this, you're not having a lawn ever.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I don't have anything else. That was a good talk. I can talk about clothes like that forever.
Me too. Nothing else, really. I mean, we can kind of touch up on NBA, NHL playoffs and stuff like that next week. Okay. Some shit's kind of... We'll be into round two of everything next week anyway.
Yeah.
So, you can touch up.
You know what sucks is that we came into this, I was thinking, oh, 13... Kayla Williams, motherfucker's gonna wear 18. So now I don't even know. I guess Keenan Allen's. Come on.
He's wearing 18 because Keenan's wearing 13. Uh-huh. Damn. Shout out to Pavel Datsyuk. Probably the greatest number 13 ever.
I mean,
OBJ.
OBJ with the Giants. Oh, yeah.
Good OBJ.
Yes. Marino.
Marino. Steph Diggs isn't 13, right? No, Steph Diggs is like 14. That's what it is.
There's got to be a basketball player. Tony Kukoc, I think, was 13. No, he was 12. 7. He was 7. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Sorry.
No, I'm trying to think, too. I thought there would be one on, like, the Bad Boys Pistons teams that was a 13, but I don't think there was.
I think like Malcolm Brogdon is 13, but it's like he's been on 7 different teams in 8 years. So,
Bam.
PG. Oh, Bam.
Keita Bates Diop. Oh, yeah. Paul George, PG 13. Oh, Wilt was 13?
Was he?
Yeah.
That's a big miss. I thought he was like 44.
Negative. Oh, James Harden.
Oh, that's a big miss, too.
That's why people are like, you guys should look them up before you say the thing. It's like, this is way more, it's way more fun to forget than it is to remember. We're being honest.
Yeah. It's on the spot is way harder, and it's just like, fuck it, if we remember things or not, it's way more fun that way.
And it keeps all you fools listening, because either you're listening because you want to, or you're listening to hate listen at the end or the beginning when we start talking about the numbers, and you're like, you fucking forgot Wilt!
You forgot Wilt, god damn it!
He's the greatest basketball player of all
time. Forgot
dogs.
About this guy who played one season with the worst team ever?
Yeah,
fuck
that would have
you.
Been that would have been the key to Bates Diop.
Yeah, exactly. Suck it, LaFleur.
Yeah, big time. All right, that's 113. We love you guys. We're gonna post the videos of the 40 and the vert. So look out for those. Love you. We'll see you next week. Peace.